Okay, we're on Perek Tet. We're up to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, actually, on bottom of page 56. There's two packets here, the one which begins on page 52. We're on page 56. This Perek, which we saw a couple of weeks ago, the morning was discussing how some guy whose name was Shaul, not Shaul HaMelech yet, he ended up going on a wild goose chase, or perhaps on a wild donkey chase. He was looking for his father's animals, looking high and low, couldn't find them. We're on page 56, on the very bottom of the page, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And he had no idea where they went, and then finally someone said, you know what, I have some great advice. We're pretty close to this city where there's some prophet. His name, I think, is Samuel or something. Let's go over there, and perhaps he'll tell us where these donkeys are. After all, he can see things that we can't. So they said, that sounds like a great idea. And he went there, and they encountered some young girls by a well, and as we discussed how they had a very long conversation with Shaul because he was such a good-looking guy, so they wanted to, you know, hang out with him a little bit longer. And finally they told him exactly where this great Navi was. So we ended off, let's begin by Pasuk Yurchet. A couple of psukim before. Page 56, Pasuk Yurchet. So, this guy, Shaul, innocently asks this guy standing there by the name of Shmuel the following question. Vayigash Shaul. We're on Pasuk Yurchet, middle of page 56. Shaul came close at Shmuel Batoch Hashar, came up to this guy by the name of Shmuel. But Yomer, he said, Hagidin Ali, hey, do me a favor, tell me something. Eze beis haroa. Of course, if you would want to see the English, it's on the facing page on 57. So Shaul said, you know, I'm looking for this guy, the roa, the seer, this person who has this tremendous vision, this navi, this prophet. Do you have any idea who I'm talking about? And he was talking to him. So, beyond Shmuel, at Shaul, so Shmuel turned to Shaul and said, what are you talking about? I am the great Navi, I'm the great visionary, I'm the great seer. Come up with me to the altar and eat with me today this sacrifice. I'll send you off in the morning. Don't worry about it. And whatever is bothering you, I'll tell you. I'll tell you where your donkeys are. Whatever other questions you may want. So we ended up last time discussing that this was actually a mistake that was made by Shaul. What do you mean? Was a mistake Shmuel made, rather. Shmuel said a very haughty thing. He said, I am the Navi. Because he boasted, he was punished with in the future that he did not have the same knowledge that he, or the ability to be able to see the future. Specifically, one of Yishai's children would end up being a king, one of Jesse's kids. And he said, it must be this one. And he had no clue. It ended up being, of course, David, right? David Mel.
What happened to the internet in the Pasuk? I mean, it sounds very simple.
So the way that we discuss it, it's very hard to see it, right? Perhaps he
should.
The fact that he didn't have to say, "I am the seer," he just said me. And the fact that he said, "I am the Navi," why does he have to say that I am the Navi? Of course, he's answering the question. You're right. I mean, the Radak says, "Oh, maybe he should have said, oh, ask someone else," which is doesn't make sense. But perhaps the way he said it. It's like, I'm the one who can see everything. I'm the great Navi. He could have just said, me, or I. And the fact that he said, Anochi Haroah, that perhaps, on his level, of course, gave that impression that he was boastful, which, again, is only on his Madriga. Yeah, if you look at the, if you look at the bottom of page 56 in the Radak Pasuk Yud Tet, it says Anochi Haroeh, which is that's the Dibur HaMatchil over there. It's the third wide line, which is underlined. It says Lo Hayizeh Chutz Mederech HaNava. This one interpretation is he really wasn't doing anything which was above and beyond which he shouldn't have humility. He was doing nothing wrong. The fact that he was asked where this guy was, where the Navi was, where is the prophet, it wouldn't be proper if he didn't respond. Of course he had to answer. However, then the Radak says over here, Rabbi Sina Zichronim Levracha Amru, that the sages tell us, Ki nichshol b'zeh hadavar, that he stumbled. What was the mistake? Ki hoya lo lomar, and this is kind of difficult, what this next line, what this means, but the Radakhli's quotes, that he should have, Shmuel should have said, Sholach Erim, ask someone else, where is the Navi? I don't know, ask him, which, what do you mean, I am the Navi, why would you want to do that? What?
Maybe I can help you.
Well,
maybe
you're sort of,
it's just
right. That could be.
That
could be. Right.
Tomorrow,
that's true.
Like some
maybe
spin on
said,
it.
I am enough.
Right. I am.
Maybe
enough.
Down the road, when you didn't get that kind of reward, maybe somebody. I don't know. It just sounds awkward to me.
Right. Another. When he later on couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible, as you're saying, that. He made, why couldn't, after we've studied about David HaMelech not being picked by Shmuel, then they have to think, why did he lose this vision? So then you have to go backwards and find some place where he made a mistake, and maybe it's like, oh, this must be the one area where. That might be the way that it would have, that's how it worked. Right. Okay. So that, but that's, this was, now they finally know who each other are. I'm the Roa. Come and eat with me, have a nice meal. I'm not going to keep you a long time. Tomorrow you can go. I'll tell you whatever you want. However, Pasuk Chaf tells us, V'lasanos ha'ovdos l'cha hayom. I know that you had some animals, you had some donkeys that were lost, you didn't know where they were. You were looking around for them, shoshashomim, for a long time. Al tasim eslimcha hayom kinim so. Don't worry about them. Don't put them in your heart anymore. Don't be concerned about them. They're found. They're already found. Ulami kochemdas Israel halo luchol luchol beis avicha. And as it's translated here, besides, to whom does all the desirable property in Israel belong, if not to you and to all your father's family? But basically what Shmuel was telling him is, if the reason why you're concerned is the donkeys, they're already at your parents' house, your father Kish has them, you don't have to have any concerns. Everything's fine. So he really has no reason to speak to Shmuel anymore, because after all, that was the only reason why they came in the first place. But we're going to end up seeing a much more important reason for this encounter, namely, Shaul is going to be appointed and anointed as the Melech. Shaul will end up being the king. Pasuk Chaf.
That gave him a hint, though, when he said that everything belongs to you, all the property belongs to your family. That gave him a hint that he was going to be king.
Because a king has that control of everything. It doesn't comment on that, but it could be that that was just alluding to what will end up happening to him, which we're going to end up seeing very, very, very soon. Pasuk Chaval. So the Pasuk tells us, Vayan Shaul. So Shaul responded, Vayomer, and he said, Halo ben yamini anochi. So, correct. Based on just on that sentence, it sounds like he already got the message. I'm going to become the first king. So he said, this doesn't make any sense. I'm not worthy to be a king. Think about it. Hello, Benyamin Anochi. Who do I come from? I come from Binyamin. Mikane, next page, Shifti Israel. I'm from one of the youngest from all the tribes. The youngest out of all of Yaakov's children, Binyamin was the youngest. So why would I be the one who should be picked? And it's a good question. We'll perhaps come up with an answer to that question. Why wasn't someone from Shevet Yehuda, which represents Malchus, eventually David HaMelech ends up becoming the king afterwards, but why was Shaul the first king? Doesn't make any sense. He doesn't come from royalty. He's from Binyamin, right? Mishpachti Hatsira Mikol Mishpacho Shifti Binyamin. And out of all my family, it's really the youngest out of all of the tribe of Binyamin. I mean, I don't see all... Right. Why are you speaking to me like this? You have the wrong guy.
No, so in fact, she's right. He did have a clue.
Right. At that point, he understood already. Based on that one sentence, even though he doesn't clearly say you're going to become a king, he understood that that was what Shmuel meant. And therefore, he said, you can't be possibly... No way, you're correct. Which, as we mentioned earlier in the Psukim, told us that how did Shmuel know this? Because Hashem told him the day before, there's going to be a guy in about 24 hours from now that's going to come, and he basically described the entire scenario, so he knew this was the guy. 100%. Shaul should be the king.
Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Maybe I wasn't here, I don't remember. What made Hashem pick Shaul to be the king?
When we introduced him, we saw the beginning of this parak a few attributes. One of the things was his humility, also the fact that he demonstrated kibud av, that he went out to find these donkeys. He didn't raise himself above other people. It said that when it was already a couple of days went by, he thought he lost the donkeys, they're gone. He said, you know, I think my father is worried about us, right? And he was with some lowly servants. So who was his father afraid of, that he was going to lose? Him. He was afraid that Shaul was going to be lost. But Shaul didn't look at it that way. He didn't say that he was better than the servants. He said, my father's probably worrying about us. So he compared himself to others, which is the attribute of a king. You shouldn't raise yourself above other people, but rather to serve people, to think and be concerned about the welfare of your entire country. That's why some of the reasons, but we'll see some other things as well. Okay. So I'm not really worthy, and I'm from this young family, a young tribe, right? And as I mentioned before, like when I was in New London, there's this great rabbi, huge Talmud Chacham, and I don't know how old he is, older than I am, but he had come to New London once in a while, and he would give a couple classes, shiurim, just incredible. And some people would always say, oh yeah, go up to him, I remember you when you were 6 years old, you'd be running up and down, making all this noise, we'd be trying to quiet you, he's climbing on all the, you know, all the chairs. Because the reality is, when you look at someone as great as they are, you remember their youth, you remember what they did. So this is what Shaul's saying, people look at me as the tziras, the youngster, they look at me, of all the tribes of Binyamin, as the katan, the smallest, the youngest one. And therefore, people are not going to give the respect that a king deserves. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Pasuk tells us, V'yikach Shmuel et Shaul. So Shmuel took Shaul, that Naro, as well as his lads, his servants, Yiviyim, and Shmuel went and he took these people and he brought them into this in the special room, to the special chamber. And he placed them in a very special place in the head of the entire table, in front of all the other visitors, all the guests. The Hamakishol Shemish. It wasn't a small affair. There's 30 people, around 30 people. What a huge affair. And this was, again, he just brought sacrifice, and there was certain portions of the animal which were going to be consumed. The Yomer Shmuel Latabach, so Shmuel turned to this butcher, the one who was involved in this taking care of the meats. He said, Tanas Amana Ashinasatila. Give a certain portion, obviously, to referring, giving it to Shaul, he had him in mind, and his servants, that thing which I gave to you, designated, I want you to give it to them. Asher marti lecha, because I said to you before, sim osa imach, that you should place it with you. So I want you to take this certain portion, this choy, this great part, piece of meat, and provide it and present it to Shaul. B'yarem hatabach as hashok. So what did this butcher do? He took this the part of the thigh, v'aleha v'yasim lifnei Shaul, and he took this delicious piece of steak, this spare rib, this delicious delicacy, and he placed it in front of Shaul. The Yarmu said, hinei hanishar sim lefanecha achol. He said, here you go, dig in, eat, enjoy. Kilamoed shamlecha lemor karasi. Because at a designated time it was told to you, saying, the nation could be called to you. V'yochol Shaul im Shmuel b'yom ahu. And after that little monologue, Shaul decided to eat with Shmuel. So this was already the sun was beginning to set, and they had their little meal. They relaxed. They enjoyed themselves. So it sounds like Shmuel is a pretty nice guy. He's a relaxed guy. He knows how to throw a good party. However, he wanted Shaul to remember that it's not all fun and games. That's what next pasuk says. Vayerdu mehabama ir. Afterwards, they descended from this altar, from this, which was by the city. Vayadaber im Shaul al hagag. They said, you know, I have a great thing to show you. So they went onto a ladder and they climbed up to the top of a roof. Climbed up to the roof and he started speaking to him. Now, what exactly did he say to him? We're going to see a couple of the words. However, the question is, the more important question is, why did he choose a roof? You know, if you're already sitting down, you're eating your meal, so you take a breather. You just sit there and talk there. What is he? Let's go on top of a roof. What's the point of that? What's the logic in... It could be. That's true. Oh, those are good answers. Those are good answers. For some reason, Rashi doesn't say that, but it makes sense. Like, he's about to say, in fact, we're going to see in a couple of psukim that when he's with his servants, he's going to tell the servants to go in front because he wants to tell them something private. So this also seems to be, certainly the words that he's going to say to him is logical the way he did it, in a private place. What did he say?
So, how would you translate Mehabama? It's really not the platform. Because that's very confusing. That's why I look at the English.
Well, the Bama is
really a platform.
That's where the sacrifices were presented.
But here it's saying they went down to the high place. Is it where the Bama is? That's the high place, and they came down for the city. That's why I'm confused what the word is saying. They came down to the platform. Is there
well,
a commentary
on that? By the... This was the previous pasuk or so it's still pasuk of hey.
I'm confused by that pasuk. I think there's more to it than meets the eye.
I'm sure it does. You're right. I'm not If you go, the only thing which I see here is the Mitzudas David, which tells us by the words Al Hagag, which is the third wide line, which I did not underline. It says, Al Hagag, She'al Beito Asher Ba'ir. It tells us where the roof was on this house, but it doesn't talk about where the Bama was and where they were and where they were situated.
Is but the Bama usually placed in, on a higher area of the city? Is that the idea?
But when the girls by the well were talking about it, they mentioned that that he was going to go to this Bama, which was basically in the middle of the city, in the middle of the street, like in a public area. Something like that. Something like that. Yeah.
And that's why they went to the roof, where it was private. The town square is public. That I understand.
Right.
I just don't know if the Bama is...
Well, how does it...
Going from the platform, which was on a high place to the city, or the Bama is the actual platform. Because when you look at it, it is not translated as a
It's called
the high place,
which really I'm not sure why it translates it Bama as that, but that would make it even a greater question is if the purpose was to go to a high place, so they're already at a high place according to this translation. So why would they go down just to go back up to another place? But I'm not sure.
Except maybe that.
Right. Which makes sense, because that's why the pasuk immediately before it said it was Shlo Shemish, just a bunch of people there. And what he's about to tell him is something which he probably doesn't want everyone to hear. So let's see Rashi. Rashi will explain what he did. What was it that Shmuel said? What did Shmuel say to Shaul? So Rashi tells us, "Vayedaber im Shaul al Hagag." Rashi says in Pasuk Chaf Hey, what was he saying to him, and why was it on a roof? Moichicho, he wanted to give him rebuke. He wanted to give like tochecha, rebuke the guy. Umolamdo, and also teach him liyiras haKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to fear God, right? You have to fear Hashem. So the question is, well, you can teach someone that, you know, in a nice, comfy bunker in a tent. What's the purpose of doing it on a roof? Because we look up, look at the heavens, look around, look at this whole world, look at the splendor of the world. Right, exactly. So that's the reason why he purposely chose this roof. And why did he have to do this? Because he's about to become a melech. A melech could easily think himself as a deity, as we find so many times in history. They themselves have complete control and power of the world, so they become godlike in their minds. So he says, no, you have to fear God. Which also explains why, as we mentioned before, why was the fact that he honored his parents, why is that a reason to become a king? So what? Because he listened to his father to go get some donkeys. Who cares? What does that make you, fit to become a king? Exactly. Because a person who listens to their parents, it shows that there's someone above you. Which is the same idea of Hashem is above you, over here. It's the same concept. Which is why they explain. That's why in the Aseret Dibros, Kabedat Avicha V'Imecha, honoring your parents, is on the right side.
The only thing is that his strength ultimately turned into his weakness. When they said, oh, keep the best of this and the best of that, he listened to them, actually. It didn't do what Hashem had told him.
Right.
The same kind of thing.
Yeah, we're going to see that, right, sometimes a person's characteristics, positive character traits, are not always so good. You have to know when to be kind, when to be compassionate. So this is what Shmuel wanted to teach Shaul, to make sure to constantly fear Hashem, which is one of the reasons, as we said, which is actually next week's Parsha Shoftim, is a melech has to carry with him a Sefer Torah. So why maybe I should carry a Sefer Torah? It's because for me, I mean, how many nisyonos do I have? How many tests do I have in my life? A few, but nothing compared to a king. A king can get to his head very easily. Therefore, he has to constantly carry this Torah to ground him, to deflate his tires, to know who he is, that he's still a person. And that's what Shmuel wanted to do here as well, letting him know, on that roof, pointing up to Hashem, don't forget, even though you're a king, that's the Malchamloch, and that's the King of Kings. Okay. With that said, we continue with the next Pasuk of Vav. The Pasuk tells us, Yashkimu, that after this evening is very interesting day and night, they went to sleep, got up the next day, Vayik Alsa Shachar, Vayikur Shmuel Shaul, Hagaga Lemor, Kuma Veshlachacha. So in the morning, Shmuel, the Navi, called to Shaul, again by the roof, and he said, get up, and I'm going to send you out. This is it. I told you you're going to leave the next day. I'm a man of my word. Even though you're going to be a king, you're still leaving. V'yakum Shaul. So Shaul got up. V'yetzu Shneim. They both left together. Hu u'Shmuel hachutza. Both of them left, and they went outside.
That we've learned before from
Vayashki Baboker,
from Abraham, to get up like that.
Is
Rizos to do a mitzvah?
Right. Certainly is a mitzvah to have a king, to appoint a king, if it's done for the right reasons. So, yeah, that's true. So they got up, and they went out, both of them, Shmuel and Shaul. Hema Yardim Bixayir, they were already by the edge of the city, by the outskirts of the city. They weren't talking. It was quiet. Shmuel Omer El Shaul. Then Shmuel all of a sudden spoke up. He turned to Shaul Emor Wanar. He said, say to your other servants, these little lads, your servants who are with you, V'yavolef Nenu V'yavol. Let them go in front of us. And they did so. He let them walk ahead of them. V'ata Amod Kayom Yashmiyecha Estevar Elkim. So I want you to stay here today. I'm going to tell you the words of Hashem. Which means this is not something which their ears have to be privy to. Because I'm now going to make you a king. Part of being a king, as we're now going to see in the next parak, Parak Yud, is being anointed with oil, which we're now going to see in the next parak, Parak Yud. So he said, this is something which we can do privately. This is something we can do quietly. So this is what he's going to do now as we open and introduce the next parak, Parak Yud. Pasuk tells us, Vayikach Shmuel es pach ha-shemen. So what did Shmuel do? He took oil, a little flask of oil, Vayisok al rosh av yishakehu, and he smeared it on the head, put it on the head of Shaul, and then he kissed him. So it's brought down that what did he do? He took this oil, he put it on his fingers, and he made like a circumference, a circle around his head, as though it's the shape of where his crown will be. And then afterwards, he kissed him. How did he kiss him? Where did he kiss him? And why did he kiss him? These are all good questions. We'll have some answers in a moment. Vayomer, and he said, Hello, Kima Shachacha Hashem Anach Losel Nagi. Is it not now? It's true that Hashem is now accepting you because you have now been anointed as the ruler for the Nachla, for the leader, and the inheritance of the Jewish nation, of Hashem's nation. So he said, now you have become the Nagid. You are now the ruler. You are now the king. Sounds like a nice thing. But again, what's the significance about this oil? What's the significance of the kiss? So let's see the Radak. The Radak tells us two things over here. The Radak states, as pach ha-shemen, we see toward the bottom, this is a new packet on page 58. What does it mean at pach ha-shemen, this flask? So you just jump to the end of that line. The Gemara tells us, it's stated in the Megillah, Va'omer, it says, Sho'ol Vayud Shenimshechu B'pach Lo Nimshecha Melechutan. So this is a new packet. We're on page 58. Which you may have it over there. I mean, you can still use the from the previous page, but it's underlined on this one, on the first page, on page 58. What's the significance of this oil? So he says that this oil which was used was a temporary type of oil, and it wasn't in a permanent type of kli. This was put in a kli cheres, in an earthenware vessel. The oil was in an earthenware vessel. However, we're going to end up seeing when it comes to David HaMelech, when it comes to David becoming a king, the flask, it wasn't a flask, it was a horn, which is something which is stronger, which is more permanent. So the Radak says that it wasn't a coincidence, but rather it's coming to teach us that his melucha, Shaul, being a king, was going to be short-lived. It wasn't going to be a long time. David v'Shlomo, however, the next two kings, David HaMelech and his son Shlomo HaMelech, Shenimshechu b'keren, they were anointed with a horn, well, the oil which was in the horn, Nimshecha Malchutam. Their malchus will be a long time. So, and we're going to see, there's a couple reasons for that. That doesn't tell us. First of all, as we've seen before, in the last parak, that Shaul was not from the proper tribe to be a melech. He came from Shevet Binyamin. Supposed to be Shevet Yehuda. Like David HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech. That's the first thing. And the second and more important is when you make a mistake. We're going to end up seeing that Shaul, as a king, makes a couple of mistakes. And we'll have to explain what they are and why he's accountable for those. But you're right. Everyone makes mistakes. But we're going to see that Sheol is held.
Your mistake was beyond the people. And something from the future was not destroying them. I don't know if it was the dumbest mistake. And I'm going to explain myself. And I have to
say, it's more of a nasty.
Well, I think Shlomo sowed the seeds for the downfall of the empire. This is hubris.
So,
I think Sheol didn't listen to Hashem.
Right.
That could be.
That could be. When we get when. Sure. You're right. But either way, it was already explained that already at the time of him being anointed, there's no coincidence why things happened. The fact that he had specifically this earthenware flask, earthenware vessel, that shows it was temporary, something which could easily smash in a second. Okay, that's the first thing the Radak explains. Then the Radak helps us out and tells us a little bit about the kiss. What exactly was this kiss? Now, it doesn't say it here, but when it says Vishakehu, it means that they were kissing on the mouth. That's what it means. And what's the significance of Shmuel and Sheol embracing in a kiss? And also, perhaps, what's the whole significance of a kiss in general? What does it really represent? What does it mean? So the Radak helps us out a little bit over here. And let's see what he says. On the bottom of page 58, it says, Vishakehu, he brings out a medrash. The medrash is in Shmos Rabbah, and tells us that in reality, kol nishikos heim shel tiflus. Most times when a person kisses, it's foolishness, it's wasteful, it's not the proper thing to do. However, there are three times in which a kiss is okay. Chutz mishlosh nishikos. What are those three times? Nishika shel gedula, the kiss, literally, of greatness, becoming powerful and great. Nishika shel perakim, the kiss of when two siblings come together who are distant from one another, which we'll see what that was. And nishika shel precious, and the kiss of separation, that when a person, when they depart. So he explains each one. That each one, all those three have meaning. So the Radak says, Nishika shel gedula, what is the kiss of greatness? Vayisok al rosho vishakehu. In our pasuk, that what did Shmuel do? He went after anointing Sheol, he kissed him, which was a sign of gedula, of greatness. We'll discuss why that shows greatness in a second. Nishika shel prakim is found in Parsha Shmos. What was that? Vayelech, that with regard to Moshe and Aharon. So they went, Vifkashehu Bahar Elkim V'yishaklo. Moshe and Aharon, who were separated, they came together and they kissed. And then finally, Nishika Shel Precious. The third kissing, which is meaningful, is when you separate from someone. As we find in Rus, it says what happened, Batishak Arpa Lachamosa, that Arpa went and she also embraced in a kiss when she was distancing herself from her relatives.
And all these kisses are on the lips, is that what you said before?
That's how it usually means. That's what it usually means.
So when a husband and wife kiss, it's tiflus.
Fortunately, we continue with the Radak and says there's a fourth. Rabbi Tanchuma Omer, Af Nishika Shel Krivut. Also the kiss of companionship, of coming karov, close to one another. Shnemar, as we find in the two romantic people in the Torah, Vayishak Yaakov LeRachel. That Yaakov, when he first saw this beautiful girl by the name of Rachel, he kissed her. So therefore, the fact that they did it...
So there should be really four times.
So that was... Right. 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 So I have to understand the significance of why these are meaningful. Why are they meaningful? And what is the purpose of a kiss? So the Mishmitzot Zahav tells us over here, he says, that was the fourth one, Krivus, which is like marriage and whatever. Okay, so it's brought down the following, and actually the words of the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar brings down in the name of Shlomo Elkabetz the following. He says, what's the significance? Why did Shmuel and Shaul embrace in a kiss? What's the significance of that? It's kind of strange, right? And they're all alone, it's in private, it's like kind of weird. So he says, Neshika Shel Gedula Hula Davka Rucha Berucha. So when a person gives and makes a person great, like becoming a king, what you're doing is you're giving that person the ruach, the spirit which was in you, your kochos, your abilities, your powers, you're giving it to them. So we're now going to see that Shmuel tells Shaul, you know, you're going to be a Navi, at least for a moment. Because Shmuel, who is a prophet, is giving over something from him to Shaul. And that's the significance of how he explains what a kiss is. That you're giving something of you into that person. And on a more spiritual sense, the pasuk says, how does the neshama come into a person? V'yipach rapav nishmas chayim. It comes through the nose, the mouth. Our breathing, it represents our neshama. So the most intimate, the closest relationship a person can have is when both people kiss, because that is the connection of the neshamos, of the souls, and giving of one another. So that's what Shmuel was really saying to Shaul when he was kissing him. He was saying, I'm giving you over all of my power, all of my gedula, all of my everything that I have to you. And he says, Lios Shaul Mebinyamin Malchus Miuchedes Lehuda. So even though the truth is, Shaul, as we said, is from Binyamin, and a king is designated to come from Yehuda, Lekach Hutzucha Haneshika Mishmuel. Says that's the reason why Shmuel, who was able to give over something which was lacking or missing in Shaul, because he didn't have this element of Malchus within him. And because Shmuel, who's perfected himself as a Navi, was able to give him something. Well, Davka Rucha Brucha, to be able to connect and attach Ruach to Ruach, one spirit to the other spirit. Ruach Shmuel, Ruach Shaul. Kishikabel Hanoem Halukei Allah, Yislach L'Malchus. This will be the way that he'll be successful. Therefore, that's the significance of a kiss, is the connection from one person to another. With that said, you can perhaps understand the three reasons. We already explained the of godless becoming a king, becoming powerful. You kiss them to say that I'm giving over whatever I have to you. You now have this, all my power, all my energy, all my spirit, everything, all my breath, everything in me. The second thing the Radak told us was when people come together, like Moshe and Aaron, or when people separate. When a person separates, you can feel that you're no longer together, you don't have a relationship. So if you kiss before you leave, you're showing that you really are still together. I'm taking something from you, you're taking something from me. We're still connected in a relationship. And so too, when they come together, it's the same thing. So that's the significance of perhaps why Shaul kissed Shmuel.
When
right.
It's not really a kiss
on
the lips.
Right? There's little dots on the top. It's questions whether he bit him, or maybe he was sincere. He wasn't sincere. But, right. So that's what's the big deal. So he kissed him. It was his brother. Who cares? Because a kiss really means a lot more. Certainly when the Tanakh discusses it. Okay. Anyway, either way you want to understand it, we now see that he is the Melech. He is now the king. We now have a king for the first time. Pasuk Bet, Belechtecha Hayom Mi'imadi. I want to let you know that You know that I'm a Navi. Obviously, you came to me thinking that I was going to find some donkeys. Like, how on earth would I have figured that out? So you probably believe me that that you're the king. However, in order to build up your self-esteem, I want to make sure that you'll see a bunch of simanim, all these incredible wonders, signs, miracles, things that are going to happen, which will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are the king. I'm going to tell you a bunch of things that are going to happen to you, and they're all going to come true. I'm going to tell you three things that are going to happen. You're going to see them, and they will happen exactly verbatim as I say them. Pasuk bed b'lechtocha hayom yimadi. Today, when you leave me, matzasa, I'll tell you, I don't know these people. There's no cell phones. I didn't plant them or anything. Matzasa shnei nashim. You're going to find two guys. Im kvuras rachel bigvul. Next page. Bigvul bin yamin. You're going to find two people that are by the kever rachel, the gravesite of Rachel, which is by the boundary, the Gvul Binyamin, B'tzechtzach, which is not true, as Rashi tells us. Kever Rachel is not there, but rather it's in the border of Yehuda in Beis Lochem. However, what he was telling them was, as Rashi says, now these two people are currently at this place in Kever Rachel, and when you come across them, when you bump into them, then they will be at Gvul Binyamin, that Betzechsach. You'll bump into them at this other area. They're currently at Kever Rachel, and eventually you'll see them at this other place. V'yomrei lecha nimsu asanos ha-shehalachto levakesh, and they're going to turn to you, and they're going to say, you know, I know you guys, these are really important donkeys. You're looking for these donkeys. There were, I know that we found them, right? V'hine Natasha v'ichles divrei hasanos. Your father, Natasha, as the Mitzvah Sion says, Azav, he's forsaken them. He could care less about those donkeys. However, Dag lachem leimor ma'aseh livni. He's worried about you guys now. He says, where's my son? What happened, livni? What happened to my beautiful son, Shaul? Kish is doesn't care about the donkeys. He now understands his son's more important. That's what's going to happen. You're going to find these two guys, and that's what they're going to say to you. And you're going to see them at this place in Gvul Binyamin. Okay. Pasuk Gimel, V'chalafta Misham, and you'll go from there. V'hola Vasa ad Elon Tavor, you'll go to this other city called Elon Tavor. And that was the first thing you'll find. The second thing will be, another thing will happen to you, Shaul. Matz'ucha sham shlosh anashim. You're going to find three guys this time. Olim Elohim, that are ascending to go to God, to base El. Echad nosei shlosh gedim. One of them is going to be carrying three kids, a bunch of animals for sacrifices. Ve'echad nosei shlosh kikaras lachem. Another guy is going to be holding three loaves of bread. Ve'echad nosei nevel yoin. The other one's going to be carrying a flask of wine. That's what's going to happen. I mean, these are the most bizarre details that no one in the world could possibly just make up and come true. And not only that, they're going to say hi to you, but this is complete strangers. They're going to give you two breads, and they're going to give them to you. Right? Now, why on earth would three strangers walk up to you and say, hey, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good. I have no idea who you are. We have only three breads. We have three people. Probably each person needs one. We're going to give you two. Doesn't make any sense. So one guy should have two, and then the other three guys will be stuck with one. So the fact that that would happen would clearly be some type, again, of some type of sign that that certainly you were designated. You are certainly the king. All right. Now, and the Radak over here tells us what's so significant about this place. He says, oh, you go to base. It'll be by Beit El. What's so special about Beit El? So the Radak tells us what happened in Beit El. What was significant about that place? So the Radak says, who Luz? If you want to know where Beit El is, oh, that's Luz. Well, what's that? What's Luz? Shikar Yaakov Beis El. It was originally called Luz. However, this is the same city that Yaakov Vinu called Beit El, the house of God. Misham Hayim Mizbeach Shibana Yaakov. That's the same place where Yaakov built the Mizbeach. Uvishas heter bamos ha'yim akribim shamos, during the time when a person is allowed to bring sacrifices, their own private, and build their own private altars. So this is the place, this very special special place where Yaakov once was. And that's what's going to happen. That'll be the second sign. And if you're not happy with those two signs, I'll give you a third and final one. Pasuk Hey. Achar Kain, afterwards, Tavu Givas Elokim, Asher Sham Nitzvi Plishtim. Afterwards, you'll go to the you'll go to this other area in which there were the Philistines. To kind of give them a hint that, you know, remember, you as a king, you're going to have to fight off all of our enemies. So when you get to that place, when you get there, here, you're going to come across a Chevel Nevi'im, which over here is translated as a band of prophets. And it's going to make sense why it's called a band of prophets in the translation, because they really sound like a marching band. That what were these prophets doing? Yardim Habama, they have descended from, here it goes again, the high place.
They translate again,
the high place? Yeah, that's what it says over here. Bama is the high place, which is referring to the altar. They brought their sacrifices. These prophets were not just coming empty-handed. They're coming with drums and flutes and harps. A whole marching band. There's a whole big parade. So there's going to be this whole parade. And who are the people in the parade? A bunch of clowns? A bunch of people doing acrobats?
Nevi'im.
Nevi'im. Right?
Yeah.
Prophets. What? There you go. So that's what these people are, which is kind of strange. Like, what are they doing? They're, you know, a bunch of Nevi'im running around playing the guitar, and, you know, what are they doing that for? It doesn't make any sense. What are they doing with all these instruments? So Rashi tells us a very interesting answer. What's the significance of the Nevi'im, these prophets walking around with all these instruments? So Rashi says, I believe it's Rashi. No, I apologize. It's the Radak. If you look at the Radak, we'll get to that Rashi in a second. The second Radak over there, where it says, "V'lifnehem nevil v'tov v'chol v'kinor." Why do they have all these beautiful wind instruments, all these string instruments? Ki beruach hakodesh ein ashora el mitoch simcha. The only time a person can possibly accept upon themselves Hashem's spirit is only when a person is happy. Hashem doesn't like people who are unhappy. What? If you notice, Hashem is simcha. Exactly. And certainly when it comes to a Navi is not allowed to be a depressed person. What do you mean? Maybe after, once they heard, maybe after they heard the prophecy, they became depressed. But at the time when they heard it, they had to be besimcha.
They had to be in the right frame of mind.
Right. Exactly. So, it's an interesting concept that Hashem will only speak to a Navi if they're happy people. And therefore, that's the purpose of them playing all these instruments, because they like listening to music, and the music makes them all nice and happy. So that's what you're going to see. And let's see one more pasuk, then we'll see a couple of the mafarshim over here. The Tzalcha Lecha Ruach Hashem V'his Navis Imam. And some spirit of Hashem is going to come within you, and you're going to, for the first time in your life, you're going to start prophesizing with them. And you're going to turn, like turning a switch, into a completely different person. You're going to be a completely different person. You're going to become a Navi. Albeit for a small amount of time, this will be the only time you'll be a Navi. He'll only prophesize at this point. We'll see why he had to become a Navi to begin with. But nonetheless, those are the three things. Those are the three signs. So if you look at Rashi over here. So we didn't see that. We saw the Radak. The second Radak. We see the first Radak. What does it mean, Chevel Nevi'im, a band? It's interesting that they translate it as a band of prophets, because they were like a marching band. So the Radak says, what does it mean, Chevel Nevi'im? Targum Yonasan Siat Safraya. It means not that they're prophets per se, but it means that they were scribes. They were scholars. Rutzel omer talmidim, students. So some explain, whose students were they? The students of Shmuel. Shmuel's students were coming along, and if Shmuel's a Navi, it was Navi University, NU or whatever it was, so they learned to become Nevi'im because they were students of Shmuel. Ki talmidi chachamim nikru sofrim. Torah scholars are called scribes, because sofrim also comes from the word sefer, a book, because they're a bunch of bookworms. That's all they do all day is read, right? Read and learn and study. So that's why talmidi chachamim are called sofrim, scribes, even if they have terrible handwriting. But they're called scribes because that's what they do. They read books all day. Right. Right. They're, exactly.
They were book readers.
Book reader. Right. That's true. These were the students of the great prophets. And the students were called the children of prophets. And who are these people that came from such great prophets, such as Eli and David, all the way from Eli until David Melch, Hayu Elkanah, Ushmuel, the God Manasim, the Asab, the Heman, the Yodasim. Those are all the different Nevi'im, all the great leaders at that particular time. So those are the three prophecies. Those are the three things, rather, that Shmuel told Shaul he'll see. You're going to end up seeing again. The first thing you'll see is some two guys are going to come up to you and talk to you about the donkeys. Hey, you lost some donkeys, right? They're gone. They're found. The second thing is you're going to see three people, one with animals, wine, and bread. They're going to give you two loaves of bread. And the third thing is you're going to end up seeing a bunch of prophets walking around in a marching band, and you're going to join them and prophesize with them. So the question is, what is the significance of these three things? So it's brought down as two explanations I saw. One of them is over here on page 61 in the English. It tells us, what is the significance of these three signs? So the first sign, it told us, where were these two people? It said, oh, they were by Kever Rachel. Why do I need to know they're by Kever Rachel? You can see it's in this little paragraph on page 61, which I underlined. Why do I need to know they were by Kever Rachel, these two people?
Mother of Binyamin.
Mother of Binyamin, exactly. To show that, what was your complaint? How could I possibly become a king? Look who I come from. I come from Binyamin. So the answer is Kever Rachel. That's the first explanation. The second sign, as it's brought down over here by the Parshios Pesivri Hanavim, is there was the three people, right? The three people, and they gave bread. What was the purpose of him giving bread? It's because, what is a king? A king, as we said before, can take whatever he wants. He can get anything he wants. And the fact that they gave him something, even though they didn't have much bread left and had one loaf for themselves, it shows that he was destined to be a king, or he was a king, therefore he should continue to deserve such gifts in the future. And then the final thing is the fact that he was with other Nevi'im. The other Nevi'im who spent years and years of studying and toil to learn how to become a prophet. Can't just become a Navi overnight. I guess you can, because the Pasuk said, you're going to turn into a Navi immediately. So the fact that you see that, it'll show that there's something unique, there's something special about you, and therefore, because of that, for those three signs, you realize that, in fact, you're fit to be the Melech, to be the king of all the Jewish people. The second approach we'll conclude with is brought down by Rav Moshe Tzedek. He says, the significance of these three things is because when it comes to a king, you need three things. You need to have approval. You have to have a stamp of approval. You can't just become a king. You have to have people want you to be the king. You have to want, it has to be that, for example, your family has to agree to it. You can't be a king without consulting your family, right? Or taking a position of leadership. That was something which was also seen by the child, who was the 18-year-old boy, Eliezer ben Azariah, before, when he was offered to be the Nasi, the president, the prince of all the Jewish people, he said, Ezel v'imloch v'en shibesi. I have to go and ask my wife. He had to consult his wife, because he had to have haskamas mishpachta. He wanted to make sure that his wife and his family agreed with it. Okay. The second thing a king needs to have is haskamas hatzibur. Not just his own personal family, but the general community has to accept him as a king, as a leader. And finally, the third element is that you have to have haskama min Hashemayim. And Hashem has to accept him as being the next leader for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people. So it's brought down, the Ramosh Tzedek says those are the three tests. Those are the three signs.
One here. No, three.
What was that? So he says like this, he explains what are the three. The first one was with the donkeys. The donkeys, those two people came to try to find him. He said, you know, your father's looking for you. He misses you. He loves you. So that showed the connection of the family. It doesn't show that his father agreed that he'll become a king, but the fact that it happened, it's going to happen directly after him being appointed as a king, was a sign that he was...
Okay.
No, everything will be okay. That was the first. The second, as we mentioned before, you have the three guys. One, what did one of them do? Gave the bread. What does that show? It shows that the community accepts you as a leader, because that's why I'm giving you this. And what was the third thing? The third thing is that you became a Navi. Why did you have to become a Navi? He was only a Navi for 5 seconds, for one moment. He wasn't a Navi afterwards. He didn't need to be a Navi, but he had to become a Navi so that people would see, that he would also know that Hashem said, I accept you, and I'm telling you that although to be a Navi, it takes years and years of practice, I'm going to make you a Navi just for a split second, just for this one moment, to show that I'm maskin, that I agree. In fact, you are designated and destined to be the next, first king of the Jewish people.
Stop there.
We're going to end up seeing a king cannot be a Navi.
Yeah, I know, because I was surprised when you say this.
It was only for